This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The latest news heard here at the top and bottom of every hour. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
Okay, so let's turn our attention to events in the National Assembly. So we know that the Speaker of the National Assembly is currently on special leave, 15 days, so that she can address issues that pertain to allegations leveled against her in a corruption case concerning a defense contractor who alleges that she paid the then Minister of Defense up to 2.3 million rands in bribes. Some people say it's actually up to 4 million rands in bribes. But either way, a lot of those issues are under scrutiny. And so the Speaker did the right thing by saying, too many people are talking about me. My name exists in an affidavit in a current court process. Maybe I should take special leave. Good call. Trouble is, how that special leave was granted, apparently not procedural. So that's the first red mark. And because of that, the DA says we need to have a sitting of parliament and discuss the fitness of the Speaker to hold that position. Because even in recusing herself from events, she doesn't even do things correctly. That's before we're even ventilating or discussing the allegations contained in an affidavit. The Speaker should know what the rules of Parliament are and go according to plan. Ayenze into ngohlelo. It didn't happen. So now there is a motion of no confidence, which the acting Speaker of Parliament, her deputy, has approved. And so now where we sit is almost 60 days before Parliament goes into recess to make way for elections and a new Parliament to be elected. What's going to happen? Will Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula be booted out of Parliament? Will she resign or will she fight to the bitter end of this sixth administration? Alton Hart is an attorney and a lecturer at the University of Johannesburg's Law Clinic. Good morning.
Good morning, Lerado, and good morning to the listeners.
Okay, so there are a few technicalities, and it was Nara this morning who said one thing about a democracy, you like it, you don't like it, it's procedural. It works according to systems. That's why it is what it is, and that's why it takes so long to get decisions made, because you can't wake up and fire someone or hire someone. You've got to go through process. So in this particular instance, there is a Speaker of the National Assembly who is facing many allegations leveled against her. So a dark cloud. But it's a dark cloud. It's not an indictment. There's not a single charge sheet with her name on it. Just rumors, aspersions, allegations. Should she resign?
Lerato, from the face of it, obviously, if there's allegation, it sort of half inspires confidence. If a person sort of half is like on a leave of absence or maybe suspended pending the investigation. For her to just resign, I don't think it's right, because she also has a right to actually prove that, or she doesn't actually have to prove, they have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that she was involved in the commission of a crime and that she's actually guilty or an accomplice in that. So for her to just resign flat out might send out signals that she feels guilty, but I think what she did, taking the special leave and saying, I'm going to remove myself from the situation. You guys will have access to everything. You can investigate, check. I won't have anything. I think that was a good move. Okay. But for her to resign, I think that's a little bit stretching it too far.
Okay.
The special leave, and the president, obviously, he can obviously suspend her with or without their benefits. And the deputy speakers can then be acting speakers in the interim. So what I think she has done is sort of half right, and now the case, the thing is, we don't know if there was speculation that there was warrant to arrest her, but we haven't seen them, so we should like treat her also like we would treat any other South African to say, if you're not charged, why should you step down?
Okay. And so that is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Okay. But here's the technicality. Parliament is an institution in its own right, almost autonomous. So whilst, yes, she informed the president that she intends to take special leave, it really wasn't within his power to agree or disagree, is what we are told. The real power rests within Parliament. So apparently how she's taken special leave is actually not procedural. She needed to put forward a notification that she'd like to take special leave, and then Parliament jointly would have sat and had a meeting or a vote or whatever about it. But because it didn't happen, now that special leave is a problem.
No, indeed so. And how you outline it is more or less the procedure that they need to follow. But you know, the South African public, we are very, very quick and unforgiving when it comes to certain. If she stayed on, I think the opposition benches would be saying, yeah, but why don't you take special leave? Now she has taken special leave. Now the sword is cutting the other way. I know that there's procedures, but I mean, to sort of half limit, and I think maybe this was her movement, to limit the damage that this scandal or this allegation can do to Parliament. She said, let me quickly remove myself from the institution. It's an autonomous institution. It's one leg of government, which is autonomous. It's free-hanging. It works with the other two spheres, but it operates on its own. And I think she actually, there was these two sides of the sword that can cut. Yeah. And I think she sort of reconciled and said, this one will cause less damage to the institution. Okay. For me to take special leave, I can always justify later on as to why I took it in so quickly, because these allegations, I don't want it to come to Parliament.
Okay. Now, because there are all these processes, you know, everything happens according to a system, the DA has now put forward a motion of no confidence, highlighting that Section 54.2 of the Constitution outlines what the justifications for that would be, in that it specifies the instances of alleged improper conduct at the level of Speaker of the National Assembly. And so the acting Speaker has accepted this proposal. What happens now?
Now, obviously, but what we must always never forget is that Parliament as a whole needs to take a resolution. If the DA wants to debate, there's no confidence in the Speaker. They still need like a majority to actually get it. Now, not a special majority, but they still need a majority, which is 50 plus one. So I don't think they will get that number, because just because of the political differences that they have with other political parties. And the thing is now, you have to go to the House, and they have to debate this to say that the Speaker wants to go on special leave, and the Speaker has to set out her grounds as to why she thinks it's fit for her to take special leave at this point in time. Mm. And then thereon, they have to take a resolution as to how they're going to go forward, so that the Deputy Speaker then becomes the acting Speaker in the time that she's on special leave. And I mean, it can happen so easily that maybe something in her family happens that she has to actually approach Parliament to say, listen, yeah, there's a family matter that I need to attend to, and I need to take special leave because Parliament is sitting in this time. So we should also balance that to say that she also has that right to take leave. She's taken special leave. Maybe they say, okay, you're not entitled to special leave, but maybe you can rather take off your personal leave, to take personal leave and then come in. So they can still work it around, because the special leave is normally, it's not taken off your annual leave. Then she can say, okay, I'll rather compromise my annual leave to say I take leave. The Deputy Speaker then comes in, the Parliament still runs, nothing, so that I can attend to my person if I'm not getting person. But Parliament has to take their decision, and that has to be a majority of 50 plus one to say, this is how we're going to do it.
Okay, so Section 102.1 of the Constitution allows for a motion of no confidence in the Cabinet. I don't know if a precedent has been set in terms of a motion of no confidence in the Speaker. Is this the first time something like this would have happened?
From my recollection, I haven't seen one that was debated in a parliament. Maybe I've missed one, but I haven't seen one personally. But obviously, you would have to look at the motion of no confidence read with I think it's Section 52, Subsection 4, where they still need that majority, irrespective. But it's also a debate that needs to be tabled in Parliament. It should be on the agenda paper so that Parliament can discuss it. And then after discussing it, everybody gives their 2 cents as to why the speaker should be removed or not removed. Then they can now come to a vote. And obviously, we know it's normally open vote that people would be voting unless there is an allowance for a secret ballot. Mm. Then they still need that 50+1 majority to remove the parliament, not the parliament, to remove the speaker of the National Assembly.
So some people might be listening and saying, okay, yes, she has rights. And yes, as you've also said on the other side, there is a cloud hanging over her head, and that cloud does not inspire confidence, if I paraphrase what you've said. And this is why this issue has to be resolved quickly, because even if she sat it out, you know, 60 days is 2 months, 2 months of jabs and, aspersions and ugly words, being used is not just going to be tenable in the last months of this particular administration. So what's the best way to observe her rights, uphold her rights, but at the same time, keep the sanctity of Parliament intact?
For me, it would be simple. If they say that there's procedurally a flaw in how she actually received the special leave, she can always just come to Parliament and apply for special leave. The only thing that they can do is like to say, we deny you the special leave. Then she can say, okay, now if you don't want to give me special leave, I would then take annual leave. When she takes annual leave, it gives her then the time that she needs to attend to these allegations that she's involved in a ±4 million rand bribe scandal, to attend to that, to deal with the charges, if there's any charges, and then come back after her leave expired. Then all this headwind and backwards and forwards about her. Yes, if the DA still wants to table a motion of no confidence in the speaker, they have all the rights to do so.
Okay.
But it's still the principle, innocent until proven guilty, because now they've got wind that there is this affidavit that contains her name with allegations. It still needs to be tested.
Okay.
And 2 months from now, it's elections. Then, any event, a new speaker should be elected by the newly elected parliament.
Yeah, exactly. And she did say, when the president was giving his State of the Nation address, she obviously had to introduce the president. And she made a statement there that this would be her last State of the Nation. So she'd already indicated her decision
not standing
to stand for office or resign or whatever it is at the end of this sixth administration.
No, that for me, and I think now us going into a debate, I think it would be more like political point scoring that people is going to look at to say, we have an opportunity to debate in Parliament and do sort of half point fingers in the direction of one of the political parties to say, look at your leaders, they are incompetent, they are involved in criminal activity. That's just going to be a mudslinging exercise, which is something that we as South Africans are not interested in at this point in time, to say who can sling the best mud. We have serious issues in our country, like we look at load shedding, our infrastructure, our youth unemployment. That is maybe things that they should be engaging us on, and not to try and say who is the better of them all.
Okay, but here's the issue, though. It's still the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. It's still an important pillar of the democracy. And anything can happen, you know. I'm not wishing the worst on South Africa, but, you know, this week the Kremlin woke up to a terror attack in Russia. So anything can happen in a matter of days, let alone 2 months. Shouldn't the Parliament make sure that the presiding officers are those who are not in any way constitutionally compromised, even if it's just 2 months till the elections?
No, indeed, that is the duty of Parliament, to make sure that its members adhere to the Constitution, adhere to the rules of Parliament, and adhere to the ethics code of Parliament. That is what Parliament needs to do, because that is a reflection of our democracy, who we voted into, sit there and actually make sure that our rights is not trampled upon, but it's upheld. So I think what the speaker did, maybe the procedure on her special leave puts her a little bit in a position of compromise. Mm. But I would also say that on the other end, one should look at the cup as half full. She did not say, I'm not moving. I don't like some other political leaders. If they are facing charges, they would hang on to that office for as long as possible. She said, let me remove myself from the situation. And I'm not now saying how she obtained her leave is correct.
No.
I'm just saying she said, I take a positive and a cognitive decision to say, listen, I'm going to remove myself from the situation because of this institution that we are also dear. So she removed herself so that the investigations can proceed against her. Her legal team will then deal with it.
Okay.
So I would say, as much as I don't agree how the leave was granted, but I support how she actually quickly and swiftly acted to say, this black cloud is hanging over me. I remove myself from the situation.
And I don't want Parliament to be caught in the crossfire, as it were.
Yes. And also not for this issue of mine to become an issue that overclouds the business of Parliament.
Okay.
So for me, I think that was a wise move on her side to act swiftly to protect the institution. A lot of people might not see it in that way.
Yeah.
They might see it, yes, Speaker, you need to have integrity.
Yeah.
We've always harbored this notion that you are not as squeaky clean as you portray to be.
Yeah.
And everything that she did as a defense minister, they still want to drag it and hook it onto the Speaker portfolio, which was two different portfolios.
Okay.
Hold her accountable that side. This is, what did she do as a Speaker? Did she trample the law as a Speaker?
Right.
I don't think so.
Okay, so separate the fact that in this incantation, she's a Speaker. The allegations concern her in another role as a Minister of Defence.
100%.
Okay.
We should not infuse these two in, because that's what the DA is trying to do.
Okay.
Infuse this into one thing.
Okay. The truth of the matter, though, unfortunately, is that it seems to be on Tuesday, if all goes according to plan. So Tuesday next week should be a sitting of Parliament where this motion of no confidence will be tabled and then debated next week. We need to understand, a vote of no confidence, is that the same as an impeachment vote?
Remember now, the impeachment is like where they sort of half remove you, and you would see with Judge Lopez that impeachment means that if you are impeached, you sort of have, because with some of these positions, there is also after you have finished your term, there are certain benefits that goes with it. If you are impeached, those benefits fall away. With the vote of no confidence, is just to say that, listen, we as a group, as a collective group reflecting the demographics of South Africa, no longer holds confidence in you that you should be the Speaker. Yes, they cannot remove her from Parliament, because even if they remove her as Speaker, she still remains an MP. She still remains an MP. And that's the sending party, which is the ANC, will dictate if she's supposed to be still an MP. That is for their ethics committee. So she remains an MP. So the vote of no confidence should not be seen as similar to impeachment. Impeachment proceeding is to say you can no longer be part of this institution, be it a judge, be it a cabinet minister, or be it a parliamentary official. If there's a vote of no confidence, it's just like we remove you from your leadership role that you hold in the institution of ours, but they cannot say to her, now, because there's a vote of no confidence in you, you can no longer be a member of the National Assembly. She remains until her party that deployed her there will recall her from the National Assembly.
Sure. It's a lot. It's a lot. And that's what makes democracy so complex. And at just times, it just feels like we're just wading through really heavy waters, because everything has to happen according to process, procedure, to give everybody a fair hearing, is what you're saying. Alton Hart, thank you for your time. He is a lecturer at the University of Johannesburg's Law Clinic. Newstime.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.